Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
NBA Australia, how are you going? How are you going? That's right, it's a Sunday. What is going on here? I'll tell you what's going on. It's playoffs! Playoffs, that's right. So here it is, Sunday, April 21. I am your host, James Clements. This is NBA Australia, your one-stop shop for all things. Hoops, NBA, a bit of Australia, that's what we do. What am I? I'm also the host of the official AFL Supercoach show, the AFL Today show. Fox Sports Lab, NBA, all the good stuff. Here in Larry Armour Studios, got a squid who's asleep. Got another one who's on the couch with his iPad. So, just good dadding. But today's show, I just wanted to jump on and do the 8-seed play-in games before the Monday morning slate. So, we've got 4 game ones that happened on Sunday. Really fun stuff. So, we'll break them all down, the NBA Australia game wraps. We'll talk about those 8-seed play-in games. They're a bit of a weird one, I'll tell you. But that means also we've got That's Not a Knife, Old Mate, No Mate, Spud of the Night, Better Than Lonzo Ball. We've got Dickhead of the Weekend. There's some Yeah Nahs. There's the Unpopular Opinion of the Day. And there's Outback Takehouse. We were serving up a flame grill take. There is an Andrew Gaze Grey Mum Reward for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. And then a pick and preview for all of Monday's games. So should be fun because now, obviously, with Saturday's games, we've got the 1-8s obviously sorted out. Now I've actually got some odds and thoughts and stuff like that. So. We'll preview each of those 1-8 series. We sort of did on Friday's show, but either way, I think this should be fun. It bloody well better be. So, without further ado, let's get into it. Episode 1079 of NBA Australia. Let's go!
G'day, this is Andrew Gaze, and you're listening and watching NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better. Enjoyed Shaq popping up on one of the ads about Charles Barkley's. It's the playoff Jimmy ad, right? Playoff Jason's not a thing. Playoff Dame's not a thing. Even Chuck's jokes are funnier in the playoffs. Shaq's like, no, loot. Like, it's just funny. I just love just the hatred, the sheer just mateship of it all. We're just good mates, mates. It's awesome. Anyway, way to go, our man's Shaq. Right, let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Show. It's usually with a daily. That's right, we're doing a Sunday show because I wanted to sort of get this one done. I don't want to wrap up 10 games all at once tomorrow morning, right? So it's sort of breaking this into two. The game ones from today, very fun, very weird, very wild. Really entertaining the last couple of games too. So we'll talk all that out. And then that sort of just lets us approach Monday's slate with a clean slate as well to wrap up on tomorrow's show. So today's news is that Kawhi... in a shock to absolutely nobody, no one has any idea if he's going to play. Hey, Kawhi, do you reckon you can tell us whether or not you're feeling good? No. I don't know, it'd be really beneficial for our team. I don't care. I'm not going to tell you anything. What are you doing, you idiot? You're insane. Just tell your job whether or not you can do it. Tell your work whether or not you can do your job. That's what I'm trying to say. It's chaos. What a lunatic. Oh, it's really fun how just so weird. No, just imagine being his teammate. He's like, hey, you playing? He's like, I'm not going to tell you anything. What a lunatic. Anyway, other little bits and bobs of news. So the Kawhi, basically, there's just increased doubt around whether or not Kawhi's going to play in game one of the Mavs series tomorrow. So, yeah, good luck figuring that out, literally everybody. Jeez, I tell you. Other little bits is that Jokic today rocked up looking like Gru from Despicable Me. There we go. I enjoyed that. That was fun. We'd actually just watched that the other day. So Squid number one was like, this is great. He was like, this is where the minions are from. I'm like, yes. God. You've seen this movie before multiple times. Again, a bit of hashtag dadstraya. It is remarkable. Like, you try to not let your kids watch too much TV and junk, and then sort of they get latched onto something like, you know, for Squid number one, it was like the Paw Patrol movie. He's seen that like millions of times. And It sucks. Like, it just sucks. Like, the Thomas the Tank Engine movies, they were fine. It's just like, there was a bunch of them too. But the Paw Patrol ones, you're like, this is just smack yourself, like, in the face time and time again, because it is dumb, not very interesting. Anyway, Despicable Me, at least, is kind of funny. He watched the Smurfs the other day. That was all right. I'm like, I remember the Smurfs. It's always weird there was one that's a chick. Like, what's happening there? Like, what is going on? And why is he named Papa Smurf? Anyone who wants you to call him Papa is just, I don't know, something sus going on there. Anyway, other little bits and bobs of news. The top-selling jerseys of the season were announced. Steph Curry was still number one. It's getting weird at this point. LeBron James, number two. Jason Tatum, number three. Four, Victor Wembanyama. Number five, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Six was Luka Doncic. Seven, Devin Booker. Eight, Kevin Durant. They just inseparable, those two. Nine, Dame. 10, Tyrese Maxey. Interesting one. 11, Ja Morant. 12, Joel Embiid. Embiid's an interesting jersey buy, isn't he? It's like, you did, I feel like we saw a lot of Harden jerseys for a very short amount of time. And Embiid, I don't know, it's weird. Nikola Jokic, 13. I don't know, it's weird that also the best player in the NBA is 13th in terms of jersey sales. LaMelo Ball, a bloke who doesn't play, number 14. And 15, Jalen Brunson, love that. All right, there you go. In terms of other news, it's literally just like Kawhi, we don't know what's going to happen there. The Chicago Bulls were just like, yeah, it's a bit of a disappointing year if they got knocked out. We're going to change some stuff up. They're not going to change anything. Don't worry about that. And the ESPN released like a really cool playoff montage of like inserting contemporary dudes into like old timey clips and stuff. It looks awesome. I love it. So go watch that. I enjoy that stuff a lot. This might come as a surprise, but I like old basketball as well. What I don't like is people whinging about, oh, you know what used to be better? Basketball. Nah, settle down, idiots. Right, let's do some game raps. Game raps. That's right, the game raps from. So go back to the 8-seed game. Chicago got absolutely spanked by Miami. I predicted this on Friday show after I switched my pick. The Heat knew that someone was going to step up, whether it be Caleb Martin, Tyler, there goes my hero, bam, whatever. It was kind of like a combination of everybody, which is a bit more of a surprise, right? You had no Jimmy Butler because of his MCL. And Kevin Love just wound back the clock, went, all right, sick. I'll just be good Kevin Love again. Check this out. He didn't have like chaos stats, but he ends up with like 10 of 10 at the free throw line, 16 and 7 in 12 minutes. It was absolutely gnarly. So that was fun. Anyway, the Heat win at 112-91. The Bulls just absolutely wildly disappointing. Kobe White goes 5 of 16, 3 of 15 for Ayo Dosunmu as well. Look, if you're starting backcourt, it's going to combine to go, what's that, 8 of 31? You're probably going to lose that game. They shot 38% as a team. Vooch had 16 points on 17 shots. He was cooked. He looked horrible. DeMar DeRozan there was a little bit better, 22, 3 and 4. But yeah, again, when White, Caruso, Dosunmu just can't hit a shot, mate, pack her up, boys, you're done. And that's always going to be the problem with the Bulls, right? Like, they just don't have any sort of wherewithal of backup plans. Without Lonzo, it's just like, this team stinks. Like, what are we doing here? Chicago. Like, Jerry Reinsdorf, just come on, mate. Figure this out. It's horrible. Anyway, the Miami Heat is 24-10-9. Tyler Hero was amazing in this game. I love nothing more than dunking on Tyler. There goes my hero. But 8-17, 4-9 from 3. Almost a triple-double. He was fantastic. Jaime Jaquez was incredible as well. 21-6-6. Yeah, the 16-7 from old man Kevin Love, and they just kicked the crap out of him. Right out of the gate, they just went, yeah, Chicago, you're not winning this. And Chicago, like, oh, but we want to. It's like, too bad. It was like a pretty brutal second quarter. It was like 20-13. It was really low scoring, obviously, early on. And then Miami just kicked it into gear in the third quarter and ran right over the top of them. Duncan Robinson actually got out there, hit a couple of threes. Paddy Thrills, Paddy Mills, Australian player watch today. He got the 3 minutes of cardio. He had one assist in 3 minutes. But they were just much better. Like, Caleb Martin was sort of doing a little bit of everything, but it was Jaime Jaquez, Caleb Martin, just those sort of next level dudes, just sort of keeping things moving. Heywood Highsmith, that sort of stuff. And the Heat win the game. They are now the 8th seed. They take on Boston in hilarious fashion, but without Jimmy Butler. So, ruh-roh. Good of the Heat to be like, we want Boston. Bum, 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 bum. After the game.
Be careful what you wish for there, I guess, sometimes, you know what I'm saying?
Anyway, and then we had Kings Pelicans, which was a, Jesus, is disappointing if you're a Sacramento Kings fan. We sort of hit on this on Friday show. I picked the Kings. I was like, oh, look, you know, the thing is, the problem might be they already played their sort of NBA finals against the Warriors. And it turns out, yes, De'Aaron Fox is awesome. 35 points, 5 assists, 7 rebounds. Still had 5 turnovers, shot 12 of 29. Whee. The problem was no one else could hit a shot. Like, the Souvlaki King had 23, 14, and 7. He was on and up and about early. He and his fellow Lithuanian, my name is Jonas Valanciunas, were going at it. And that was fun as hell, because my name is Jonas. My name is Jonas. He's carrying the pals. Straight out of Vilnius. This is how he smells. It's like goulash. No, 19 and 12 for Jonas. He was fantastic going back and forth with Sabonis. The problem was Keegan Murray couldn't find this, like, find his shot at all after nailing, what, 8 threes the other day? He had 11 points on 4 of 12 shooting. Keon Ellis missed everything for 0 points, 0 of 5 from the floor. Davion Mitchell hit a couple of threes, but he had the 10 points total. It just wasn't enough. Harrison Barnes, Black Falcon, or as always, wildly whelming 17, 5, and 4. He gave them a little bit of a sniff there and there and there, but they just never quite clicked properly, and the Pelicans just did. Spindles Ingram had 24, 6, and 6, 19, and 12, as I mentioned, for Jonas. He carried them through big periods, right? But then off the bench, it was Jose Alvarado shredding. He had 10 points. Naji Marshall had 11 points. Larry Nance Jr. chucked in 13, and Trey Murphy, with the start, had 16, 8, and 6, and just did a little bit of something, something. Like, this was important because CJ McCollum wasn't very good. He had 7 and 3 in 36 minutes, and you're like, what is happening? Like, you'd expect CJ to go, all right, boys, I'm just going to go full point guard. He was like, I don't know what's happening here. How do we fix this? And he just, wasn't that great. But the Pelicans still shot the piss out of it, 52% from the floor versus the 40% for the Kings. And they only went 7 of 19 from downtown. Like, this is when Trey Murphy hits 2 of 7. And Spindles doesn't take that many threes. We know that. Herb went 1 of 2. CJ only went 1 of 2. I reckon that'll sort of change when they play OKC. But anyway, Kings, they stink. Classic Kings. The thing is, like, you can sort of see the improved defense of Keon Ellis in place of Malik Monk, Kevin Huerter, and co. Like, they've just got to keep Malik Monk for all intents and purposes. Like, they just need to, like, empty the bank. Like, Vivek Ranadive's just got to sort that out. Because Keon Ellis, you piss off Huerter, just try to balance those books. Keep killing Keon Ellis. He was fantastic, apart from not being able to hit a shot in this game. But the Kings, Packer Up Boys, another disappointing year for them. Pelicans through to take on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Love it. Interesting matchup, that one. But then, let's do it. The playoffs. Playoffs. Enough of the play-ins. Let's do the playoffs. Game ones. Who got up at 3 a.m. to watch this? I didn't watch the Magic Cleveland Cavaliers until I woke up with the squids and was watching the replay while on the big TV I had Phoenix, Minnesota. And on the iPad, I was watching this one. And wow, Orlando stink. It was so bad. 83-97, the Magic men just completely shit down their legs for this game. They managed over the second and third quarters, they scored 32 total points and just couldn't hit a shot all game. They end up shooting 32% from the floor, 8 of 37 from downtown. Jeez, Jim, do you think they could have benefited from having a point guard? Yes. But more importantly, ice cold. Anthony went 0 of 7. Markel Fultz went 0 of 4. Gary Harris went 0 of 6. And Jalen Suggs went 4 of 16. Now, if your four guards, your entire guard rotation goes, what's that? Unbelievably, 4 of 33 combined, I think you might lose that game. I'm pretty sure that's bad. Meanwhile, Johnny Isaac gets the start, so they bring Wendell off the bench. That didn't work. Johnny Isaac had the 10-5, 3 steals, 3 blocks. Handy. Palo Bancaro had 24-7-5, but he shot 9 of 17, 2 of 7 from downtown. Franz Wagner had 18 on 7-15 shooting. It was just, like, wildly unbalanced. It's like, oh, we'll crank up the defense. It did not work at all. Cleveland smacked him right out of the gate and never looked back. And so when your guards can't hit any shots, nor could Jingles, he went 0 of 2. There was like a bit of argy-bargy in this one as well. Mo Wagner's just like throwing dudes around and you're like, hey, Isaac Okoro has a crack at him. And you're like, good. Mo Wagner with his big, stupid, bloody pumpkin head. No fooling. He's a dickhead. So get after him. I love that from Cleveland. But Orlando, just completely no composure in this game. Just got the life strangled out of them. Just like the absolute idealized version of, oh, act like you've been there before. They weren't able to. Someone who has, Donovan Mitchell, 30 points, 3 steals, 3 assists, shot 11 to 21, 3 of 8 from downtown. Darius Rucker, Judy Garland, 14 points, 8 assists, 16 and 18 for Go The Fro, Jared Allen. 16 and 11 with 3 blocks for Mobley. Love that. My Sweet Baby, Caris LeVert, and the minivan, George Niang, not great off the bench. They combined to go 3 of 15 between the two of them, 0 of 5 from deep. But Strus had 7 points, 9 rebounds. You expect the Cavs shooting to pick up a little bit. They went 8 of 30. The Magic went 8 of 37. But like the Cleveland Cavaliers, at least you feel like there's a little bit more upside. For the Magic, you're like, all right, so Gary Harris, Suggs, Ice Cole Anthony, Markel Fultz. As I said, 4 of 33 combined. Yeah, but at the same time, what are they usually going to shoot? So tough one. Anyway, the big thing, rebounding, they're out, like, the Cavs out rebounding them 54 to 40. So that made the decision for the Magic to go, oh, nah, we'll bring Wendell and Mo off the bench, man. It'll be fine. Isaac will be all right. Nah, didn't work. They just got out-toughed, out-classed, outplayed. Cleveland were flying around. That's a big win for game one. Good job, Cleveland. Up one zip. Statement win. I thought that game would be much closer. It was not. Same with game one of Minnesota Phoenix, because Minnesota just kicked the crap out of them. There was a point where in the third quarter, Ant-Man just goes, all right, boys, get him a back. We're going to win this game. Because it was back and forth. The second quarter, they outscored them by 11 and sort of eked out that halftime lead. And then the game was over. It was like he's talking shit to Kevin Durant. And so Ant-Man ends up with 33. He scored 18 in the third quarter and just went, this game's ours, dickheads, piss off. I don't care that we're 0-3 against you this season. We're going to win this game, kick your ass, and leave you reeling. Booker couldn't do shit. He shot 5 of 16 for 18 total points, 5 assists. They got nothing from the bench. It was Royce O'Neal. He had 14 and 4, then absolutely nada. Eric Gordon goes 0 of 5. And so when you got Eric Gordon going 0 of 5, you got Grayson Allen going 0 of 3 before he hurts his ankle and has to leave. You had 15 and 6 from Brad Beal, 18 and 5 for Booker. And you're like, okay. So a KD game where he has 31 and 7, only one assist and 5 turnovers. Yeah, you're going to lose that. Because when you've got no bench, guess what? If like two of your dudes sort of suck, you're fucked, mate. And that's exactly what happened. Booker and Beal were shithouse. 11 to 26 combined. Like Beal just, he's such a weird nothing player. You watch him play, you're like, who was that again? Oh, that was Brad Beal. Oh, yeah, sure. It's like he doesn't seem to like make massive statements in his game ever. And the Wolves just stymied them very, very nicely. Mike Conley shot like shit as well. 2 of 12 for him, right? But he was still really, really, really effective. 7 assists. He only had the 1 turnover. Was just sort of everywhere and just hounding those Suns guards in his 27 minutes. McDaniels was fantastic. He only had 9 and 6. But this is one of those classics. Just don't fucking look at the box score for Jaden McDaniels. He was unreal. Rudy Gobert, this Stephen Tower rebounded everything. He had 16 rebounds, 14 points. Carl Anthony Towns had 19, 7, and 4. He was handy. Just didn't have to sort of extend himself too much. He had Nick Alexander-Walker, who was the big difference for me. 18 points. The defense was unreal. He hit 4 and 9 from 3. 12 points as well for Naz Reid. Great win for the Wolves. 120-95. It's an absolute ass-kicking. And it's like one, look, I think we talked about this on Friday's show. This is the game that was set up to basically be like, all right, Phoenix might come in, slap Minnesota around, win this game. And you're like, oh, God, here come the Suns. Nah, Wolves went, no. This is the game that we would have played in like game 5 once we've sort of got a bit of a grasp of the situation. They played it in game 1, which is worrisome if you're the Suns because the Wolves are that much bigger and that much better on defense that you're like, ooh. If Ant-Man can do this, he had 33 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. He did have the 6 turnovers, but 14 and 24. I listed what his shooting percentages were in the 3 games against the Suns. This was unreal. He was talking shit to KD, dropped a 3 on his head straight after. He's got stones the size of Uluru. But the biggest thing here was that they out-rebounded them 52 to 28, did the Wolves. Oh, geez, Jim, is that them using their size advantage? Yes. They really did. There was 15 to 14 turnovers, but look, they shot 12 of 32 from downtown. Pretty bloody good. They shot 50% over all the Wolves. They just strangled the shit out of the Suns, and that's how you win in a playoff game, and that's what they did. It was awesome. Great job, Wolves. They take the 1-0 series lead. Philly versus New York. How fun was this game? 111-104. The Knickerbockers win it. The Knickerbockers of New York City. Geez, is that because Tobias Harris is just like a non-entity? Yes. Kyle Lowry was out of his goddamn mind, dropping massive threes to quieten that crowd every time. He's going up against his old mates from Villanova. Well, he's basically their dad, I think, for the Villanova Knicks, right? And to get this game out of Kyle Lowry and lose means that the Sixers are fucked. Joel Embiid comes down on his knee after dunking for the first time since he came back. Goes off injured. You're like, oh, that's them cooked. He came back. He had 29, 8, and 6. He was good. He was lighting a fire on everybody. It was really fun. He shot 8 of 22, though. Like, the length of the Knicks and just, like, their scheming for him, right? So the other Mitch Robinson was fantastic. Isaiah Hartenstein was also pretty handy, too. His hustle early on just made Embiid work that little bit much harder, too. So Embiid ends up with a 29, 8, and 6 with a couple of steals. He shot 2 of 8 from 3. 8 of 22 overall, and you're like, eh, I don't know about this. 7 points on 7 shots for Tobias Harris. I mean, anytime. Hey, Tobias, we're in game one. We're paying you $35 million. Can you get us double-figure scoring? He's like, you got a boss. I'll take 7 shots for 7 points. You're like, that's not double figures, Tobias. What are you on? He's like, nah, man. Just saying. 7 points. I got you. $35 million. Big Budka Lowry had the 18 points. He was absolutely unreal. Laced 4 threes, 4 of 7 from downtown. He was absolutely shredding. Tyrese Maxey was the an absolute spark as well. 14 of 26 for his 33 points. Every time they needed a bucket, he's like, all right, I'll just go around everybody in the paint and lay it up. What do you reckon? Nick Batum turned back into a French spud. 1 of 4 from downtown. 1 of 4, all of which were from downtown for his 3 points. 4 points for Reed off the bench as well. And this is it. Like, I've talked about this Sixers team time and time and time and time again. It is deceptively shithouse. It's like, oh, nah, they've got like really good role players. Do they? Lowry's older than hell. Nick Batum shows up once every 4 or 5 games, or he'll play out of his skin for a week. And you're like, that guy's like the third best player in the NBA. And Tobias Harris just stinks. And then Buddy Hield just can't hit anything. 11 minutes, 0 of 2 from the floor, 0 points. He was a minus 16 in 11 minutes. Buddy Hield sucks. It's like, how could you be that bad? Kelly Oubre, he wasn't too bad. He had 5 steals. Only shot the 3 of 7 as well, but at least he had 10 points. But anyway, for the Knicks, 11 and 4 for OG Anunoby. It was Brunson and it was Hart, wasn't it? 8 of 26 for Brunson. He played his heart out. And so did Josh Hart, but 7 points, 22 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists for Brunson, 22, 13, and 2 for Josh Hart. He was unreal. Deuce McBride had 21. He went 5-7 from deep. Bojan was given a little something-something early as well, 13 and 7 for him. He only shot 4 of 12, but he was 3-6 from 3. And when he missed those 2 free throws in this game, you're like, oh, geez, what is going on, Bojan? Didn't matter. And Donta DiVincenzo hit a couple of 3s. He went 3 of 10 from the floor, but ends up with the 8 points. So they shot less than 40% the Knicks, but they win because they went 16 of 35 from downtown and only had, you know what, they out-rebounded the Sixers 55 to 33. You're taking the piss there. 8 and 12 for the other Mitch Robinson. They played a complete game, and this was the entire vibe that I had on this series, right? So in the second quarter, the Knicks just strangled the absolute life out of the Sixers offense. It was like 33 to 12. And the biggest problem going into this was like, yeah, the Sixers offense can just fall apart in a heartbeat. And that's what happened here. Thing is, it then woke up again in the third quarter. They outscored them 36 to 21. And you're like, oh, hang on. They're on here. And no, the Knicks, like of all the units, of all the aspects of this series, like the one thing that you can trust is that the Knicks defense is always going to show up, right? Like these dudes are just going to play their asses off. And that's what happened. And like the Sixers, it's just so hard to trust dudes like Tobias Harris to just, oh, 7.7 shots. He'll have like 32 in a loss in like game 3 at home or something. And he'll be like, but he's good. It's like, no, he's just not. Embiid and Maxey, handy. Lowry, sure. Oubre, whatever. He's like a once every 2 weeks guy, is Kelly Oubre. Lowry's probably worse than that. Tobias Harris is just bad. They'll probably win game 2 just to shit me up the wall. But the Sixers, blah. Good win for the Knicks. That crowd was rocking. It was great to see Jason Bateman with the long hair and the Van Halen t-shirt. That was weird. Kind of loved it. And then finally, Denver Lakers. How fun was this game? The Lakers thought they were, you thought you was Kobe. 103-114. The Lakers were up and about. They led after the first quarter. They still led at the half. And then the Nuggets went, yes, it's very nice that you think you can beat us. Huh? But Denver beat them for the 9th straight time. Oh, but it was the closest sweep of all time. No one cares, Lakers fans. They own you to the point where the Nuggets were like, who's your daddy after the game? I love Nuggets fans, but that's a weird chant. The Lakers, most of this was like D'Lo not showing up for me. And yeah, the Nuggets shot 6 free throws, which is a bit sus. Just saying, it's a bit sus. When your team only shoots 6 free throws, that is the 3rd time in NBA history a team's won a playoff game with 6 or fewer free throw attempts. Didn't matter because Jokic, Murray, KCP hit 4 threes. Aaron Air Gordon was everywhere. And Michael Porter Jr. just had one of those very classic MPJ games where he's like, hey man, never met a shot I don't like except for the vaccine. And away he went, 19-8 for him. But the Lakers, look, it was AD and LeBron. They were both fantastic. D'Lo was absolutely shithouse. That's right. Just, what the hell was that?
What was that? What the hell was that?
It's going to pop up again in a second in Spud of the Night. Hashtag spoiler alert. But AD was fantastic. 32, 14, and 5 with 4 blocks. He was everywhere. He played 45 minutes, did the plastic, the paper mache, man. And they still just never could get over the hump. Is that because D'Lo shot 6 of 20, Jim? Yes. 13 points on 20 shots. Love it. 1 of 9 from downtown. 3 assists. 1 turnover. 7 turnovers for LeBron James, but he had 27, 6, and 8. He played really, really well. 10 of 16 from the floor, 3 of 5 from downtown. Was the only one sort of keeping them afloat in that third quarter. And then AD sort of got growing. Austin Reeves popped up late, ends up with a 13, 4, and 3. Hit 2 of 6 from downtown, but just nothing off the bench, right? Gabe Vincent, zeros. Didn't even take a shot in 8 minutes. Spencer Dinwiddie, 13 minutes. Didn't take a shot. Torian the Rebel, Prince at 11 and 4. He's the only bloke off the bench who scored. They went 8 of 29 from 3 compared to the Nuggets, 15 of 42. They shot 49%, but they got out-rebounded 49-40. They had 12 turnovers to 4. And despite going to the free throw line 13 more times, they still lost by 11. The Nuggets, that's because they just controlled this game. 32, 12, and 7 for Joker. He was unreal, 15 of 23 from the floor. Jam and Jamal Murray, 22, 6 and 10. His game just kicks up a notch in the playoffs. We all know that. But geez, trying to contain that pick and roll with him and Joker, it's brutal. 4 of 10 from downtown for KCP at 12 points. MPJ with a 19 and 8, as mentioned. 3 of 7 from 3. He just hits like, he takes some of the worst shots you'll ever see, but then he also hits one of them randomly like, oh yeah, pay that. 12, 11 and 7 for Aaron Air Gordon. And then off the bench, Christian Braun had a little moment. He had 5 rebounds, 2 points. Reggie Jackson hit a 3, a couple of 3s of Peyton Watson. He had 8 points as well. DeAndre Jordan gave them 9 pretty solid minutes, which was weird. And you're like, DeAndre Jordan, what a world. But good job by the Nuggets. You could sort of see just like the Lakers a little bit cooked after playing in the playing game the other day, right? And then going to Denver. I think they didn't fly into Denver until the day before. They were practicing in LA. It's like, I don't know. I feel like you should go to Denver and get accustomed to the altitude. Nah. And guess what happened in the third quarter? Oh, that's right. They got shit pumped. So sucked in Lakers. You hate to see it, but you love to see it. All right, let's do an NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's not a night. That's annoying.
Well, we've got a few of them, don't we? Jokic was very, very, very bloody good. 32, 12, and 7. Shot 15 of 23. He was just manufacturing shots in the paint that you're like, that's not going to go in. Oh, God, it rolled in. Bloody hell. Josh Hart had the 22, 13, and 2, but had 13 points in the fourth quarter for the Knicks and hit 3 straight threes that just brought MSG to its feet. That was awesome. Led the Knicks in minutes, tied with Brunson for the leading scorer. And Anthony Edwards absolutely went massive in that game. 33, 9, and 6, was talking shit to KD. Shot 14 to 24, 4 of 8 from 3 in 36 minutes. Won them that game in that third quarter. Those were the best performances. That was amazing. Ant-Man, Josh Hart, Nikola Jokic. You love to see it. And look, Donnie Mitchell, I guess, for the Cavs, for Cleveland, because why not?
Cleveland!
But still. Who is Spud of the Night? Oh, jeez. Yes.
Spud. It is Spud. Spud of the Night.
Yeah, Spud of the night, as mentioned, your entire guard rotation shooting 4 of 33. Yeah, it feels bad. It is because it's shit. 0 of 7 for ice cold. Anthony was ice cold. Gary Harris goes 0 of 6. Markel Fultz goes 0 of 4, and 4 of 16 for Jalen Suggs. Like, it's bad enough for Ice Cole, Gary Harris, and Markel Fultz to go 0 of 17, but add that to Suggs, 4 of 16. 4 of 33 is just absolutely... Oh, right. Yes, we could have used a point guard. Orlando, what are you doing? 0 of 5 for Eric Gordon. 0 of 3 for Grayson Allen before he hurt his ankle. D'Lo, he's 6 of 20 and 1 of 9 from downtown. 100% shot the Lakers in the foot today. He's back, baby. Oh, he's back. D'Lo. Back with a vengeance. Hey, remember me? I'm shit. Dinwiddie getting that cardio in for 12 minutes. 0 of 0. And Mike Conley, 2 of 12, but still played his ass off. Booker as well. The 18, 2 and 5. The 5 of 16. One turnover, 4 fouls. He was a minus 15. Devin Booker, not great, but still. I think the spot of the night is just collectively all of the Orlando guards. It's brutal. Who's old mate, no mates?
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates. Who's got no mates today? KD getting shit talked and KD's laughing and just like, look at this fucking lunatic. Ant-Man. He's just fucking chatting, talking shit. And then Ant-Man hits a 3 on KD's head. At some point, you just got to be like, hey, Kevin, do you have someone who's going to step in and try to fight him? Because you're not. We all know that you're a pussy. But jeez, like, come on, mate. What is going on? Kevin Durant just getting shit-talked to his face and none of his teammates sort of step in and just have a crack. No mates as well. Obviously, as per usual, Mo Wagner. I enjoyed that. Isaac Okoro is like, oh, I fucking hate this guy so much. And I'm like, join the club, Isaac. Isaac Okoro got pinged for having a shove. He poleaxed. He fucking poleaxed somebody anyway. And it sucked. And yeah, Mo Wagner, everyone hates him. But my favorite old mate, no mates, is that in Madison Square Garden, after the Knicks beat the Sixers, there were fuck Trae Young chants. Now, Trae Young does not play for the Sixers. Like, Trae Young sitting at home going, what the fuck did I do? Why fuck me? What the hell? It's because fuck you, Trae Young, obviously. Simple as that. Pantsing of the night. The Nuggets, every time they play the Lakers, just a pantsing at this point. 9-0 is pretty amazing. But the who's your daddy chance, that's just a bit weird. The Suns basically didn't score a field goal for the last 7 minutes of that game. That was pretty funny. But really, the pantsing of the night is Embiid doing the self alley-oop, dunking for the first time since he came back from his injury, and injuring himself again. That's a pantsing. There was a great moment as well. Mitchell Robinson in that game too. He blocked Maxey. Then threw it off Maxey mid-air while Maxey was standing outside of the court, and so the Knicks got the ball back. It was an incredibly heady play. I enjoyed it. The other Mitch Robinson, you rule. Finally, better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. Deuce McBride, 21 points, 7-12 from the floor, 5-7 from downtown, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. Collectively, all better stats than Lonzo Ball's entire playoff career combined. Why is that? That's because Lonzo never played in the playoffs. Dickhead of the weekend.
Dickhead of the week.
Yeah, it's Mo Wagner because he just sucks and everyone hates it. It's just the way that he just like poleaxed. Fuck, I've got to remember who it was. But it was pretty funny where you're like, yeah, Mo Wagner sucks. And like the sort of half punch on that at start, he pushed like, yeah, it was Mobley. Mobley was sort of off balance and Mo just shoves him. And he's like clapping and stuff like this. And Isaac Okoro's like, I'm going to fucking kill you. So, Mo Wagner, dickhead of the weekend, pretty easily. Draymond as well. Look, I tend to tune Draymond out. I feel like it's the smartest move for basically all of us. But I haven't gone back and looked over his like media clips and shit since they got eliminated. I'm going to take a wild guess and assume it's not his fault. Yeah. Yep. That's probably about right. All right, let's do some yeah-nahs right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Illy.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Some ENRs brought to you by the NBA Australia Shop.
Bebo!
Get your merch, get your merch.
Wear it!
Get your merch, get your merch. Get your merch, get your merch.
Yeah, you better. NBAAustralia.com/shop. Or just click through on the socials. Get a hoodie, get a t-shirt, get a stubby holder, get a coffee mug. There's only a couple of those left, so get right around. I'll tell you what. Either way, do it. NBAAustralia.com/shop. And help a brother out. Support your favorite everyday bloody NBA Aussie podcast. Right, let's do some yeah nahs. Are Orlando's last year's Sacramento? Yeah, nah. They actually more feel like last year's Cleveland. You know what I'm saying? Maybe.
Cleveland!
Where Cleveland just got completely outclassed by the Knickerbockers and out-toughed and stuff. It's weird. I don't want to keep banging on about it, but Orlando not getting a point guard at the fucking trade deadline just really smacked of stupidity at the time, and it looks even worse now. It's like, oh, but we've got Suggs and Ice Cole Anthony, and like, it's like, yeah, but they are also a bit shit. Like, Suggs is awesome defensively, but at the same time, he's not like a set it up, do everything sort of point guard, right? And if you're only going to play, like, Jingles at this point of his career can only probably play the 15 minutes. Ice Cole Anthony's way, way, way too happy with his own shot. Fultz can't shoot and sort of isn't like a, you know, giant basketball IQ sort of dude. But Orlando, look, I feel like they'll still be in this series. And I expect this series, like, once they sort of figure out the defense against Cleveland, that's okay. It's just like, is their offense going to show up? Like, Palabancaro and Franz Wagner, they just, oh, God, they look bad in that one. Do Philly have any chance in this series against the Knicks? Yeah, nah. Well, I mean, if Embiid just can fucking stay healthy for 20 minutes a game, they do. I don't think they have a chance of winning the series, though, and that was sort of my series pick, right? I just don't see them winning four games against this Knicks defense, right? Because the Knicks have got clutch scoring and Brunson and co. The Sixers, it's like Embiid, it's Maxey, and then just question marks everywhere. Whereas the Knicks, at least, like, Brunson was really good today. Hart was really good. Deuce McBride hit all the threes. And another game, it'll be Dante DiVincenzo hits all the threes. It'll be, like, OG who pops off for 20-plus. Like, there's just so many different ways they'll kill you, even without Julius Randle, that, yeah. Philly, if Embiid just goes absolutely bang, but he's just, if he was fully healthy and had been healthy for, like, the last month and a half, rather than like the last week and a half, and then he hurt himself again. Yeah, they got no chance. Do the Pelicans take OKC all the way? Yeah, nah, nah. I think there's too much length and good defense on that OKC perimeter to really be stressed about the Pelicans. I'll talk about that later in the preview. And do the Heat get a game against the Celtics? Yeah, nah. If they had Jimmy Butler, yeah. But they don't, so nah. Unpopular opinion of the day. So I tweeted that out the other day, right? Like, the Heat fans. Look, I love it. Heat fans. Look, I'm all about having the chutzpah as fans. Going, we want Boston. Good. Miami should want Boston. Because that was the only team they could play because they lost the 7-8 play-in. So they want to play Boston. That's great. As I tweeted out, it's like, that's like the Roo going, we want a Mack truck. As the Roo's bounding along the highway. Boston will love the opportunity to kick their absolute living shit out of this Miami team. Miami will still put up a fight, but they're going to get killed. Like, God bless them. But at the same time, I do like the confidence of the fans going, fuck yeah. Well, we love beating the Celtics. Have you seen us do it before? Yeah, we did it last year. It's like, yeah, but now you don't have Jimmy Butler. Also, the unpopular opinion of the day, any other team, like any team paying Tobias Harris, $35 million a year is destined to suck and never make an Eastern Conference Finals. Just saying. Tobias Harris over me. All right. And finally, Outback Takehouse. It's Sunday at our back. You know what that means? Oh, yeah, rabbit roast. That's right. We just grabbed a rabbit from out in the backyard, chucked her in the oven. Boom. I'll tell you what, the squids are pretty upset, but boom, this is what you got to do when you're running Outback Takehouse. And today's Flame Grill take is, if the Celtics drop a game before the Eastern Conference Finals, this season should be looked at as a failure. Only Outback. Seriously, the way that, like, after watching these the Eastern Conference playoffs already, and this is even before, like, Indy inevitably kicked the living shit out of Milwaukee tomorrow morning. Knicks Sixers, that's on the other side of the bracket from the Celtics. The winner of Cleveland-Orlando, like, the Celtics should have zero problem with this Miami team and then zero problem with whoever wins that horrible Cavs game. Cavs-Magic series, rather. Because I know that the Magic gave the Celtics, like, fits and starts, but just the Celtics' backcourt is wildly good. And they should be able to kick their ass. So, yeah, the Celtics, watch out. Right, Australian Player Watch. Let's just go straight into it because we're just flying and it's really quick. Dyson Daniels, obviously, in the Pelicans' out-sued game. He played 2 minutes. He had one rebound and one foul. He had 0 points and it was a zero plus-minus, which is pretty good. I mentioned Patty Mills actually got out there as well for the Hooters. And he had the 3 minutes and the one rebound. And that was it, because we had no other Aussies, because obviously, oh, Jingles. Oh, I mentioned Jingles. Whoops. We had Jingles in the Cavs game, and I mentioned his 0 of 2. He also had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal with 1 point. That was 1 of 2 at the free throw line. So 15 minutes, 0 of 2 shooting. But 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. Very handy. He was a plus 2 in his 15 minutes, and game they lost by 14. Just saying, play more Joe Ingles. But obviously, we've got all the Dallas guys playing tomorrow, Sexum Up and Greeny. More Dyson, and we've got Dyson versus Giddy, which is a pretty amazing actual matchup. And we'll have Patty Thrills up against the Celtics tomorrow, too. So that'll be good. What about an Andrew Gaze Grey Mumber Award? Shall we do that? Let's do it.
Andrew Gaze Grey Mumber!
Yeah, it's a very quick one. Outstanding. Like, Jokic and Murray today had 17 assists and 0 turnovers. It was like one of the things I didn't point out. I'm just like, it was insane. Like, that is so bloody good. 17 assists and 0 turnovers at home against the Lakers. I mean, the Lakers having 19 free throw attempts to 6 is pretty funny. But yeah, the 17 assists and 0 turnovers, absolutely gnarly. And 22 points, 10 assists, 0 turnovers for Murray just by himself. That's like the third all-time in playoff points for the Nuggets now is Jamal Murray, which is pretty crazy. I love that. So great job by our men's Jokic and Murray. They are just like excellence personified, right? So great job. All right, let's get into it. Should we do a Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in? I think we should. Let's bloody well go. Oh, Patty. Where was it gone? There was a Patty Mills one that popped up before. You're killing me. There it is. Let's go. Oh, there we go. Patty, outfit breakdown. How many shirts do you count? Whoa. It is a lot of shirts. He does a pretty good dance in front of the camera, does our Patty. That looks pretty bloody good. Walt Gray's vintage cars and guitars. Patty's just gone for a bit of a wander and had a look at some stuff with the miso. Jesus, those guitars are amazing. That actually rules. I want to go there. Walt Gray's vintage. So Patty hanging out. Anyway, that's great. All right, let's do some game previews, though.
Game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem, Jim. How's it all going?
I mean, working on a Sunday. Still going to go do an AFL show as well after the late game, but still. All good over here. Had a good weekend. It's been very fun. I went to see our man Goxie last night at the Catfish. That was fun as hell. But anyway, so we've got Miami versus Boston, right? So that's the first game tomorrow morning. I'm still picking that the Celtics sweep. And I think, what did I say on Friday, that it starts 7.5-point favorites against either team. They're 14.5-point favorites. And I'm still taking Boston in game one at -14.5. It's a lot. Oh, actually, can I? Yeah, look, I will. I think Boston killed them in game one. And I think game two will be much closer as Miami sort of figure out what's going on in Boston and they figure that out. But I think this is 4-0. I just think the three big questions for this is like, yeah, with no Jimmy Butler, how do they try to cover Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, the extreme Zinger meal, and just all the weapons of Boston? And it's just a little bit too tough because, like, you look at the makeup of that Miami team. Terry Rozier injured. Tyler, there goes my hero. Absolute turnstile on defense. It's a lot of Jaime Jaquez. It's a lot of Bam Adebayo. It's a lot of Kevin Love, who's going to get just eaten up by Boston. Caleb Martin, could he turn back into that combination of Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan? Well, I guess we're about to find out. And Nikola Jovic, completely unproven. So, yeah, I expect Boston to run right over the top of this Miami team. At least in game one. I think Miami will put up a big fight in game two. But I still think this is a bit of a sweep because Boston will have just a massive point to prove and go, yeah, we're sick of this team having the bloody wood over us as well. Last year, we got completely embarrassed. And now we're out for blood. That's how I think that lands. Dallas Clippers is the second game tomorrow. The Mavs have actually gotten even more favorited. -2.5 on the road in LA. I'm still taking Dallas. That was my pick on Friday, -1.5. Now -2.5. I still feel pretty good about that. Because you've got Luka and Kyrie up against Harden and Paul George. The Kawhi question mark, I think, just completely discombobulates this Clippers team. So I'm taking Dallas. I think the size that they have between our man Dan Gafford and Derek Lively, even if Lively is still sort of hobbled and injured, you can throw Dwight Powell and stuff in. Like, there's no one who's that big on the Clippers who's going to punish you. It's like Zoobs against Gafford, Wash, happy days. Dallas should win that one. So give me the Mavs -2.5. Then we've got Indy Milwaukee. I've already mentioned this. I mentioned the other day. I'm taking the Pacers -1.5 in Milwaukee. I feel not wildly confident about this because the Bucks still have Dame and Middleton, but by the same token, Indy beat them 4-1 this year in the season series, dominated them. So with Halliburton even still coming back from his weird injury, I still think Indy are way too good. So -1.5 still, I'm taking the Pacers. And then we have the 8th seed in New Orleans Pelicans +8.5 in OKC. I'm going to take the Pelicans +8.5 in game one. I think they keep that one vaguely close with OKC. But OKC win this series 4-2. I think the Pelicans at least put up a bit of a fight, especially New Orleans. But OKC don't really have too many. I'd actually even say 4-1. I think OKC can steamroll the Pelicans. So I think they get a bit of a scare in game one, but then OKC just sort of bounce back, kick their ass. The big questions for that one are literally like, cool, no Zion. How do the Pelicans look? How does Spindles Ingram go up against them? Can he really put one on this inexperienced OKC team? Do the likes of Josh Giddey, J-Dub, Chet, do they stand up? I think they do. But the Pelicans are a tough, tough, tough team, right? The amount of defense that they have between Dyson, between Herb, you've got a big, giant Lithuanian in the middle, and my name is Jonas Valanciunas. Like, they're not going to take a backward step. So I like the +8.5 for the Pelicans. I think OKC win that game, though. I think they win the series 4-1. The big one is just like SGA. Like, do they throw Herb Jones on him and just go, sick him, Herb? Mr. Herbert? Off you go. Will it matter? It probably will. And I think it'll probably throw OKC a little bit. But I'm not that stressed. So I've gotten more confident about OKC's ability without Zion to win this series pretty handily. So there you go. All right. And that's it for today. No skit after this one because I've got to get out of here and go tape the AFL show. But that's it. So I'm hoping that you enjoyed having a Sunday afternoon evening show for your Monday morning, setting you up for those Monday games. So we've gone Boston -14.5, Dallas -2.5, Indy -1.5, and Pelicans +8.5 tomorrow. We'll see how all that goes. It should be fun. But we'll be back tomorrow to wrap up those games. I really enjoy, like, rather than, yeah, covering 10 games at once, we're covering 6 and then we'll cover 4 tomorrow. So just let's everything breathe because it's the playoffs. How bloody good is this? It's fun as, I'll tell ya. Anyway, back tomorrow. In the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Face, IG, we're all over the socials. And get around the AFL Today show if you're into your AFL footy. That show is fantastic and very, very fun. So you can check out NBA Australia on YouTube. You can actually watch this one as well. But you can also watch the AFL Today show. Go check it out. Subscribe to it on your podcast app. Like it on YouTube, all that sort of same stuff. Same as this one. Get around NFL Australia, the Cricket Today podcast, the Football Today podcast, whatever you feel like. Check a rating review on your Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, whatever app you use on the Android phone. It does help. Come on. Help a brother out. I'm working here on a Sunday, mate. Working here on a Sunday. Get around NBAAustralia.com/shop and get your merch. And a big thanks always go to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Check out House Hats, Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinated Gold Mines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa Section, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Smash them all on Bandcamp, Triple J, Nerf, Facey, Apple Music, Spotify. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands, so should you. We'll have a deli review on tomorrow's show. But yeah, until then, we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. Enjoy the games tomorrow morning. It's going to be fun as. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would you? And later, Hosanna!
It's disgraceful! It's embarrassing! And I'm ticked off!